Following program is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting and was pre-recorded. Good morning. Welcome to Finding Fairways. On this week's episode, my co-host Kevin Frisch and I will speak with Jim Dieters, the head golf professional at Midland Country Club, about fundraising efforts that are taking place in central Michigan after the disastrous flooding that has taken place there. He and his son, Austin, are doing some unique events to raise funds for those most affected. We'll also have an interview with Judy Mason, the director of golf at Mishaway Pines in Gaylord. We will examine the first week of the PGA Tour from Colonial and the upcoming schedule. That's all ahead on this week's episode of Finding Fairways, which is brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. We're back here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And Kev, I don't even have words to express how excited I was to see live PGA Tour golf with a great leaderboard on a great golf course.
I thought it was a major championship over the weekend. I thought it was awesome. You know, I didn't even really notice much of a difference because there wasn't people. I was watching golf shots and really enjoying it, and you could tell a lot of those guys have been practicing during this little off time because there was a lot of good golf being played, except a few short putts missed down at the end.
Well, I don't know if they missed those. I mean, that was kind of, you know, in a different sense, I was telling somebody else about this, that it reminded me of the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, where all these guys came to 18 with a chance to, you know, make it into a playoff.
Right.
And instead of hitting bad approach shots into the 18th green, they all got hosed on really good putts. I mean, most of those putts had a pretty good shot of going in.
They did. It's hard to believe they stayed out. But, you know, one of the things, and it's crazy, but, you know, when you haven't played, I mean, I know they've been practicing a lot, and I know they've been playing a lot, but from a competitive standpoint, those short putts are not automatic when you haven't played in that situation for a while.
Well, plus, I mean, one of Colonial's greatest protections is the greens. They're not right. Super easy to read. No, it was great. Now, my biggest question is, what happened to Rory on the last day? 41 on the front side?
You know, it's strange with him. He's, you know, it seems like when he gets into that situation, you have to watch him for the first four or five holes. If he goes out in the first four or five holes in a final round when he's right up there in the lead, and he comes out of those four or five like a couple under par, he's off to a boat race.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes out and he makes a couple bogeys, I don't know if I want to use the term mail it in, but he just seems to his focus just seems to go away, and then he just checks out and he's done.
Well, I mean, you know, Tiger used to have that, you know, if he's not going to win the last day, maybe he'll have a couple of hero shots on 17 and 18 for the crowd.
Rory needs to be a front runner.
Rory is but he's come from behind plenty of times too. You know, he was the odds-on favorite to win the tournament. And from the beginning, I thought that was a little loose because I don't think Colonial fits his game as much as some of the guys that, I mean, Daniel Berger can play.
He can flat out play.
Yeah.
I mean, he was what, rookie of the year a few years ago?
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good class that he was among.
Joe Charles was telling me that when Joe was working at the Medalist, Daniel Berger was a 14-year-old kid who used to pick the range for him. And he was playing $20 Nassaus and $50 Nassaus against the members at that time and winning.
Nice. Earning lunch money.
Pick the range in the morning, pick the pockets of the members in the afternoon.
Right, that's right. What a great summer job that would be.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Speaking of summer, it's here.
Yeah.
It has been awesome outside. The weather's been great.
Yeah, we're going to talk about golf courses and the golf business later on in the segment. But I want to talk, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about how the tour is setting up. You know, it's really unique the way they rearrange the schedule. So the first four golf courses are anti-bomber golf courses. Like they're playing Harbortown, right, which, you know, Dustin Johnson's going to play. He's a South Carolina kid. I get it completely.
Yep.
I mean, is he even going to hit driver?
He's not going to hit many
of them.
You've
played there. I've played there. I mean,
he's not going to hit many of them.
Not many of them.
No, not at all. And that's okay. It's fun to see those golf courses. You know, the bomb and gouge game gets boring after a while. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see them go to these golf courses.
But, I mean, that's more tour than what they – I mean, generally speaking, when you look at the 28, 30 tournament schedule of the PGA Tour, maybe there's five courses where Steve Stricker still has a shot to win.
Right. Yep. And it's good. It's,
but
it's
there are four of them are the way that the season is starting out. The season is restarting. So, you know, I watched a lot of that tournament. Gary Woodland never hit driver at Colonial.
No.
I think he hit it once.
Don't need to.
I mean, he was hitting three irons off the tee with a very Tiger-esque sting.
Right, exactly.
250, pew!
You know, these guys are so good. You know, it's fun to watch them on a course like this because they've got to work the ball, they've got to hit shots, and they've got to have a great short game. I mean, Colonial's greens, you know, anything like that, you've got to have a good short game.
Well,
putt.
Yeah, Harbortown is even worse than Colonial. I mean, there's no bailout. You know, if you miss the green at Harbortown, you're either in the water or in the trees.
Right. Very tight. That's probably, I would say that might be the tightest golf course they play all year.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, I played it, and it's
hallway golf in some spots.
Oh, yeah. It's a bowling alley. There's no doubt about it.
You don't see these guys playing in bowling alleys like that very often. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to get a different taste of, you know, before they go to the big ballpark at Memorial.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have, River Highlands is not a bowling alley in the sense that Harbortown is, but it's point-to-point golf. You know, a lot of big humps and valleys and a lot of blind shots. I'm not particularly crazy. I've having to play that golf course a long time, so it used to be called TPC Avenel.
Okay, I've never played there.
Yeah, and then DGC.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, again, is an old-school classic Ross where they're going to, you know, it's not going to be long. And they're not going to overpower it, but they're going to have to just keep it straight.
Yeah, but what did that kid shoot? Was he 28 under?
If you know, it's one of those things where if they wanted to narrow the fairways and dry it out, that would make it tougher. And I'd like to see them do that more on the tour.
Well, you know, I played DGC North Course a bunch of times. It is narrow. And even though the, you know, most of the fair fours are in the 370 range, which is, you know, they've got tiny little dog legs in them as you get closer to the green. So length is not necessarily your ally at Detroit Golf Club.
No, but you've still got some great Ross greens.
Oh yeah.
And it was soft.
Yeah, it was soft.
It was soft. That's the thing about any golf course they play on the PGA Tour. If it's soft, they're going to shoot 25 under par. If it's firm and fast, then they're going to be 10 to 12, 13 under par.
Yeah, I would look out for Justin Rose at Harbortown. He hit the ball pretty good and he had one of those lip outs that would have put him in the playoff.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they're all playing great.
Other than Phil. Actually, there were some notables that didn't make the cut.
Right.
Other than Phil.
Right. How about Jordan Spieth?
Well, you know it was. Is it just Colonial though? I mean, I guess we'll see if you know Spieth at Harbortown.
He struck the ball very well.
But he still had some weird shots.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a 110 wedge shot that he hit 85 yards. I've never seen a tour pro do that before.
Right. You know, you heard the idea that they wanted to do, you know, for these tournaments, at least try it, the ones that didn't have spectators. They wanted to mic players.
Well, they did.
You know, they mic, yeah, but they didn't. Some of them wouldn't do it.
Well, they had him. Who was mic'd the first day? Ricky Fowler.
I think he's the only. I think he might have been one of the few. A lot of them.
Fowler was mic'd the first day. Didn't play very well.
Right. Jordan Spieth would be hilarious to have mic because he talks to himself.
Yeah, he's like Lee Trevino. I mean, he just never stops talking.
Never stops talking.
Yeah.
You know, some guys, you know, they don't want to be mic'd because they know they can't control themselves.
You're a much bigger media guy than I am. Did you see what were the ratings?
I have not seen the ratings.
I have not seen the ratings yet either.
But I think they were up there.
Well, I'd hate to hazard a guess. Maybe in between segments, when we get to the fourth segment, we can take a look and see if they're posted yet. Because you know, if it got to like the massive numbers they had for Tiger and Phil in that match, I mean 6.5 million people, That's a good first day for the U.S. Open.
That would be really good.
So yeah, great to have a PGA Tour back on course. I love how David Faraday. I love Faraday, but he said, you know, it's so wonderful to have the PGA Tour, the first sport, back. Well, Dave, maybe you don't know that NASCAR is really a sport.
My father-in-law does say, if you don't fall on it, if you don't fall on the ball, it's not a sport.
Well, it used to be, if you could drink and smoke during it, it's not a sport.
Right,
and
exactly.
We know plenty of guys that do that. So
very true.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com, we will have a conversation. Who's our guest, Kevin?
Jim Dieters from Midland Country Club. You know, with everything going on down there with Midland County and that devastating 500-year flood, how it's impacted that area. Like I said, he's the head golf pro at Midland Country Club. And his son, Austin Dieters, who is a collegiate golfer at Northwood, is going to come on with him and talk about what he's doing to help raise money down there to support the victims.
That's when we return here on Finding Fairways on your local network, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Back here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com, Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And Kev, I don't even have words to express how excited I was to see live PGA Tour golf with a great leaderboard on a great golf course.
I thought it was a major championship over the weekend. I thought it was awesome. I didn't even really notice much of a difference because there wasn't people. I was watching golf shots and really enjoying it. And, you know, you could tell a lot of those guys have been practicing during this little off time because there was a lot of good golf being played, except a few short putts missed down at the end.
Well, I don't know if they missed those. I mean, that was kind of, you know, in a different sense, I was telling somebody else about this, that it reminded me of the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, where all these guys came to 18 with a chance, you know, make it into a playoff.
Right.
And instead of hitting bad approach shots into the 18th green, they all got hosed on really good putts. I mean, most of those putts had a pretty good shot of going in.
They did. It's hard to believe they stayed out. But, you know, one of the things, and it's crazy, but, you know, when you haven't played, I mean, I know they've been practicing a lot, and I know they've been playing a lot, but from a competitive standpoint, those short putts are not automatic when you haven't played in that situation for a while.
Well, plus, I mean, one of Colonial's greatest protections is the greens. They're not super easy to read. And, no, it was great. You know, I guess not my biggest question is, what happened to Rory on the last day? 41 on the front side?
You know, it's strange with him. He's... you know, it seems like when he gets into that situation, you have to watch him for the first four or five holes. If he goes out in the first four or five holes in a final round when he's right up there in the lead, and he comes out of those four or five like a couple under par,
he's
off to a boat race.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes out and he makes a couple bogeys, I don't know if I want to use the term mail it in, but he just seems to just – his focus just seems to go away, and then he just checks out and he's done.
Well, I mean, you know, Tiger used to have that. If he's not going to win – the last day, maybe he'll have a couple of hero shots on 17 and 18 for the crowd.
Right. Rory needs to be a front runner.
Rory is but he's come from behind plenty of times too. You know, he was the odds-on favorite to win the tournament. From the beginning, I thought that was a little loose because I don't think Colonial fits his game as much as some of the guys that, I mean, Daniel Berger can play.
He can flat out play.
Yeah.
I mean, he was what, rookie of the year a few years ago?
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good class that he was among.
Joe Charles was telling me that when Joe was working at the Medalist, Daniel Berger was a 14-year-old kid who used to pick the range for him. And he was playing $20 Nassaus and $50 Nassaus against the members at that time and winning.
Nice. Earning lunch money.
Pick the range in the morning, pick the pockets of the members in the afternoon.
Right, that's right. What a great summer job that would be.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Speaking of summer, it's here.
Yeah.
It has been awesome outside. The weather's been great.
Yeah, we're going to talk about golf courses and the golf business later on in the segment. But I want to talk, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about how the tour is setting up. You know, it's really unique the way they rearrange the schedule. So the first four golf courses are anti-bomber golf courses. Like they're playing Harbortown, right, which, you know, Dustin Johnson's going to play. He's a South Carolina kid. I get it completely.
Yep.
I mean, is he even going to hit driver?
He's not going to hit many of them.
You've played there. I've played there.
He's not going to hit many of them.
Not many of them.
No, no. Not at all. And that's okay. It's fun to see those golf courses. You know, the bomb and gouge game gets boring after a while. It's nice to see them go to these golf courses.
But, I mean, that's more tour than what they – I mean, generally speaking, when you look at the 28, 30 tournament schedule of the PGA Tour – maybe there's five courses where Steve Stricker still has a shot to win.
Right, and it's good.
There are four of them are the way that the season is starting out. The season is restarting. So, you know, I watched a lot of that tournament. Gary Woodland never hit driver at Colonial.
No.
I think he hit it once.
Don't need to.
I mean, he was hitting three irons off the tee with a very Tiger-esque sting.
Right, exactly.
250.
You know, these guys are so good. You know, it's fun to watch them on a course like this because they've got to work the ball, they've got to hit shots, and they've got to have a great short game. I mean, Colonial's greens, you know, anything like that, you've got to have a good short game.
Well, yeah, Harbortown is even worse than Colonial. I mean, there's no bailout. You know, if you miss the green at Harbortown, you're either in the water or in the trees.
Right. Very tight. That's probably, I would say that might be the tightest golf course they play all year.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, I played it,
it's hallway golf in some spots.
Oh, yeah. It's a bowling alley. There's no doubt about it.
And you don't see these guys playing in bowling alleys like that very often. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to get a different taste of, you know, before they go to the big ballpark at Memorial.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have... Well, River Highlands is not a bowling alley in the sense that Harbortown is, but it's point-to-point golf. You know, a lot of big humps and valleys and a lot of blind shots. I'm not particularly crazy. I've had to play that golf course a long time, so it used to be called TPC Avenel.
Okay, I've never played there.
Yeah, and then DGC.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, again, is an old-school classic Ross, where they're going to, you know, it's not going to be long, and they're not going to overpower, but they're going to have to just keep it straight.
Yeah, but what did that kid shoot? Was he 28 under?
It's one of those things where if they wanted to narrow the fairways and dry it out, that would make it tougher. And I'd like to see them do that more on the tour.
I played DGC North Course a bunch of times. It is narrow. And even though the... you know, most of the par fours are in the 370 range, which is, you know, they've got tiny little dog legs in them as you get closer to the green. So length is not necessarily your ally at Detroit Golf Club.
No, but you've still got some great Ross greens.
Oh, yeah.
And it was soft.
Yeah, it was soft.
It was soft. That's the thing about any golf course they play on the PGA Tour. If it's soft, they're going to shoot 25 under par. If it's firm and fast, then they're going to be 10 to 12, 13 under par.
Yeah, I would look out for Justin Rose at Harbortown. He hit the ball pretty good. And he had one of those lip outs that would have put him in the playoff.
Right, exactly. So they're all playing great. I mean, they're coming out of this.
Other than Phil. Actually, there were some notables that didn't make the cut, other than Phil.
Right. How about Jordan Spieth?
Well, you know it was. Is it just Colonial though? I mean, I guess we'll see if Spieth at Harbortown.
He struck the ball very well.
He still had some weird shots. He had a 110 wedge shot that he hit 85 yards. I've never seen a tour pro do that before.
Right. And you heard the idea that they wanted to do, you know, for these tournaments, at least try it. The ones that didn't have spectators, they wanted to mic players.
Well, they did.
They might, yeah, but they didn't. Some of them wouldn't do it.
Well, they had him. Who was mic'd the first day? Ricky Fowler.
I think he's the only. I think he might have been one of the few. One of the few. A lot of them.
Fowler was mic'd the first day. Didn't play very well.
Right. Jordan Spieth would be hilarious to have mic'd because he talks to himself.
Yeah, he's like Lee Trevino. I mean, he just never stops talking.
Never stops talking.
Yeah.
You know, some guys you know. They don't want to be mic'd because they know they can't control themselves.
You're a much bigger media guy than I am. Did you see? What were the ratings?
I have not seen the ratings
yet. I have not seen the ratings yet either.
But I think they were up there.
Well, I'd hate to hazard a guess. Maybe in between segments, when we get to the fourth segment, we can take a look and see if they're posted yet. Because if it got to like the massive numbers they had for Tiger and Phil in that match, I mean, 6.5 million people. That's a good first day for the U.S. Open.
That would be really good.
So yeah, great to have a PGA Tour back on course. I love how I love Faraday, but he said, it's so wonderful to have the PGA Tour, the first sport back. Well, Dave, maybe you don't know that NASCAR is really a sport.
My father-in-law does say, if you don't fall on the ball, it's not a sport.
Well, it used to be, if you can drink and smoke during it, it's not a sport.
Right,
and exactly. We know plenty of guys that do that. So,
very true.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com, we will have a conversation. Who's our guest, Kevin?
Jim Dieters from Midland Country Club. With everything going on down there with Midland County and that devastating 500-year flood, how it's impacted that area. Like I said, he's the head golf pro at Midland Country Club. And his son, Austin Dieters, who is a collegiate golfer at Northwood, is going to come on with him and talk about what he's doing to help raise money down there to support the victims.
That's when we return here on Finding Fairways on your local network, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Back here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Kevin Frisch. Joining us on the phone is Jim Dieters, who's the head golf professional at Midland Country Club. Jim, how long have you been at Midland?
This is my 15th summer, so it's been great to get back to Michigan. I grew up in Michigan on the west side of Muskegon. And then prior to that, spent 15 years in Arizona as a golf professional at Desert Mountain.
Oh, really? That's a nice facility.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, a little different than Midland.
I don't know if you've been down this area, Jerry, but in 2010, they did a tremendous amount of renovations at the club.
Yeah, it was
beautiful. Probably somewhere in, north of $40 million they added to this facility. And they've made it a wonderful, wonderful spot for Midland and our members here.
No, I have been to Midland Country Club a number of times. Two of my brothers went to Northwood, but I have not been to the facility since they put a lot of money in there. You were supposed to have an LPGA event this year, weren't you?
Yeah, last year was the first year for the Great Lakes Bay Invitational. And with just everything going on with COVID, and they've decided to move it on to next year and just renew the contract. So we do have it four more years following, starting in 2021.
It was disappointing to hear, but now, obviously, historic flooding down in the Midland area. I also saw what happened in downtown Midland and at the campus at Northwood University. Tell our listeners a little bit, if they're not familiar, what exactly the results of the floods have been in your area, Jim.
Yeah, this is obviously a tragic situation that happened. North of us, we have a couple small towns, Wixom, Sanford, which have a series of three dams that basically blocks the Tittabawassee River, and this has been done for years and years, and a couple of those dams were compromised with the amount of water they came through and created I'll call it a man-made tsunami of 28 million gallons of water that released in less than 10 hours, and unfortunately Midland's on the bottom of that hill. There's a town just north of us called Sanford that has completely been wiped out, and question of what level of that ever gets built back up. But as far as the town of Midland, it's very, very devastating. And to get insurance claims to cover the losses of these homeowners, it's a low percentage. So there are quite a few people walking away from their houses. Something like this, in my lifetime, I don't know what the recovery point is. So here at the club, our lower level is about 30,000 square feet. We're pushing somewhere $700,000 worth of damage to our facility. Our lower level is being redone right now. So a tremendous amount of damage even for our club and for this industry to take a hit like that. It's devastating.
When you say the lower level, is that portions? Was that a number of holes, Jim?
So actually, no, I'm talking about our building. So our fitness center.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Women's and men's lounge, our child care, our golf swing room, all those areas in the lower level of the building received about 6 inches of water throughout the entire facility. So that, as far as our golf course, you know, we were quite fortunate. It was kind of a strange situation. We probably had 11 feet of water above on our golf course. It receded within 3 to 4 days with that quick receding. The silt deposit left on our golf course was not as bad as we've seen in the past. So Kevin Welp, our superintendent, got on it right away and syringed our greens and got all the silt off. And it was kind of an interesting situation because just after that flooding, it was very, very hot. So we had actually flood on the middle of our golf course, and we were watering on the top side of our golf course, which was hard to comprehend that the sprinklers are running, but yet our golf course is flooded.
Wow. So
we came through very well, the golf course. Curry got hit hard. Curry is the city golf course just down the road. They had 6-8 inches of silt on their greens, which at this point, I don't think it'll be tough to recover this year. So they're hit very hard.
Just devastating, Jim. It's very sad to hear. And I tell you, the golf industry has come together to help Midland out. I heard about the food truck. But your son, Austin, who I have had the pleasure of golfing with, and by the way, for our listeners, Jim Dieter's taught me everything I know about golf. So growing up and playing with him in Muskegon was...
So you are the one we have to blame for this stuff, Jim. Thank you.
But, well, don't play with Kevin because I don't know.
I played with Kevin. I've played plenty with Kevin. Occasionally I can get into his head in the greens. Other than that, it's no contest.
By the way, I cut my teeth in the industry working for Jim at Treetops back in the early 90s.
Oh,
Jim was a pro at Treetops.
With Rick before
he went to Desert Mountains.
Wow.
And I've had the pleasure of, Jim and I have been friends a long time, and I've had the pleasure of watching his son Austin grow up and become a great golfer who is now playing at Northwood. And Jim, tell us what Austin has done. He has really stepped up to help the community and raise money for this.
Yeah, and I think it's nice to see young kids nowadays pay back. The town of Midland and Northwood University has done a tremendous amount for Austin's growth. And I think he saw an opportunity for him to step up and say, hey, it's time for me to pay back to the community, time for me to pay back to Northwood and say thank you. So we came up with an idea, maybe let's do a pro-am or something like that. I said, how about you play 100 holes in one day? Let's see what we can do with that. One of our local entrepreneurs, David Dittenberg with the Molasses, and he has a few restaurants in the area. He really stepped up and got this ball rolling. So we did that on June 8th. He played 100 holes. It took 13 and a half hours.
Wow.
He walked 27 holes of that, and he started at 6:30 in the morning. And I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful day. It was supported very, very well. I think he's just shy of, he's right around $9,000 that he's raised.
Wow.
And half of that goes to the Midland Relief Foundation, and the other half goes to Northwood University, which I have not heard a dollar amount on Northwood University, but their campus has been devastated. They're adjacent to the Tittabawassee River, which is where the river really overflows.
No, so, it's a lovely campus there. I've seen that, Jim. Like I said, two of my brothers went there, and the new athletic building, the gymnasium and the locker rooms and everything else, it was sustained massive, like irreparable damage. So I don't know what the school is going to do for if they have a basketball season this coming fall.
And, Jim, there's also a event you're putting on July 18th at the Curry Golf Course, a Let's Play event that's going to benefit Northwood University as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And, again, like I said, these local businesses that see this as an opportunity to help the community. I can't mention Dave Dittenberg enough with Molasses and Old City Hall, American Kitchen. He is really a guy that stepped up, really cares about this community, really entrenched in this community. And he's kind of started this out, and he's got some Northwood, Jeff Reckway with Northwood University basketball coach, is also heavily involved with this. So as you, Saturday, July 18th, Curry Golf Course, they're just trying to raise more money for Midland. They're trying to raise more money for Northwood University. That's basically it. They're looking for hole sponsors. They're obviously looking for more teams. It's $500 for a foursome. And obviously all those monies go into the foundation to help those people in need.
Yep, and it looks like they can register at GreatLakesBayWellness.com, GreatLakesBayWellness.com, yep, if they want to participate or donate.
Absolutely. And along those lines also, Kevin, and thank you, Jerry, for this opportunity, the PGA of America, Brian Cairns, Jordan Young, started a trailer at Fox Hills down in Detroit, and Kevin mentioned that earlier, that they brought a semi-load of paper towels and just people very giving for the town of Midland. And it probably took probably a good hour and a half to just unload the semi-trailer. People volunteered on a Sunday to do this. It's just heartwarming to see how people are very giving during this time, not only the flood, but also going through the pandemic that we've been going through. It's 2020 has been a heck of a year.
Yeah, no question, Jim. It has been challenging, doubly challenging for the folks in central Michigan. Again, what is the website? How can people participate in Let's Play?
So GreatLakesBayWellness.com is how you register, or looking at hole sponsors or anything that you would like to participate, or they can always call the Midland Country Club, and I'm happy to point them in the right direction.
Jim Dieters, head golf professional, Midland Country Club. Thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways. Best of luck with the recovery down there in Midland, and I hope we can press some people into helping contribute towards the cause.
Kevin, Jerry, thank you for your time, and good luck to you guys this year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll be back on Finding Fairways after these messages from our fine partners, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Back to Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. Of course, Finding Fairways is brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Kev, you've been telling me a little bit about your relationship with Jim Dieters. There's something about golf. I mean, we hear about all the dollars that the PGA Tour has raised over, what, the last 20 years.
Right.
The amount is, I mean, it's like close to, it's $1 billion.
It's
amazing. And even as small as the when we first got the radio stations here and they had the tragic car accident with the Grayling golf team,
right,
and how many dollars we raised for the that particular event. I mean, people, we put jars in golf stores throughout northern Michigan,
right,
and the response was just amazing. You know, we really encourage people to help this out, because I don't, if you haven't really taken a hard look at some of the pictures,
oh,
I mean, Jim mentioned this, the city of Sanford, and it's right in our listening area. It is, we've been trying to figure out a musical fundraiser, but with the COVID thing and everything else, how many people can we get to a concert?
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a difficult, difficult situation.
Devastating situation. And golf is a community.
Yeah.
And it just seems like when people need something, the golf community steps up and they work together.
We got like a $3,000 check from some place in Florida. You were on the committee for the, I mean, just out of nowhere. You got the story out to somebody.
We got the story out to the news, and it spread, and it made Golf Channel. And
Golf Channel brought it up.
Yeah. Matt Janella did a wonderful piece on it when he came
we'll
up
be in
here.
Town.
Who's going to be in town? We'll see him tomorrow. And Alan Shipnook from Sports Illustrated and Forest Dunes opening up the short course for a little preview. A little preview.
Yep.
Lou and his grandkids are going to hit. You know, his grandkids I think are going to tee off and hit the shots. And
they said I could actually play it, but I got to get back to the studio, so I'm a little bummed out. But I am going to go and we'll do a little interview with Janella and Shipnook and get that on the show next week.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Yeah, Shipnook, just a fabulous golf writer, and everybody knows Matt Janella. But that, another great addition to Northern Michigan Golf, segueing from the Midland Country Club to Forest Dunes and all the golf courses that we're associated with, in particular, numbers through the roof.
Numbers are climbing big time, especially, you know, on the packaging side. But I've been hearing stories downstate about the public golf courses around Michigan being open and just doing more rounds than they've ever done. I was talking to a course actually in Chicago. They were telling me they normally do maybe 6 or 7 days a year, a season, with 225 rounds, you know, or over 200 rounds in a day. Right now they're like on their 8th day in a row of it. And they said it would be like 12 to 15 days in a row had it not been for some weather. And he said, and new players coming out, and we've been hearing stories about lessons. And
rounds are up. You know, I know that a number of golf course owners, especially smaller ones, well, not even that, Boyne, they're not selling as much gear, the individualized, you know, Boyne shirts and everything else in the golf shops. That is down a little bit, so they're fighting the restaurant. I mean,
there's still some limitations.
Yeah, rounds definitely have increased over the last few years, but we really need people to start feeling comfortable coming out for golf trips with a number of guys and staying in the hotels.
Yeah, and that's starting to happen, and it's ramping up. And I think by the time we get into July and August, it's going to be very, very busy in that department. I think golf is a unique opportunity, and I think we're seeing it right now with the social distancing that the sport has. And right now with not much to do, people are gravitating to the sport and they're going out and playing. And people who haven't played, or maybe they're a fringe golfer, are going out and starting playing. I had a funny conversation real quick.
Go ahead.
With a guy, I was literally on talking to a tech guy about my phone in Florida, who told me he went out and played 2 weeks ago for the third time in his life, took his kids, and he's going back out this week, next week, and he's going to start playing. And he said it was all because of COVID. And they're, you know, and
I've seen a lot of that. I've seen, you know, when it first broke, I went over to Gaylord Country Club, and there were families playing together, and some of the families were just walking, not even playing. Now, that is kind of tapered off a little bit, but I see a lot more women, husbands playing with wives.
Right.
You know, that used to be reserved for like Sundays or whatever, but you see a lot more families playing. I think that is, for lack of a better term, really sweet.
It really is, and I've been to the range a few times, and I've seen dads with their kids out there on the range, and the kids whacking balls, and it's just a joy to see. And COVID is a devastating thing for everybody. I think that coming out of this, I think golf can be a place that people can escape to and play, and hopefully this grows the sport a little bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Don at Forest Dunes, they are breaking records for rounds of golf every day, and the lodging is starting to fill up. So it'll be good to see that course open. Maybe I play one hole before I come back here. But you briefly mentioned it when we were talking about the PGA Tour in that segment. It wasn't as unusual to see no fans in the stands. And it didn't seem to bother the players.
It didn't seem to bother the players, other than that occasional shot that went wide right or left and didn't have a fan to block it from going another 20 yards, which actually I thought was great. But
think how much money Mickelson's going to save. You know, he gives $100 in a glove every time he hits somebody.
Right. Exactly. But I thought, you know, I really thought with the camera angles, I thought they did a really good job. I thought it was unique how they had Nick Faldo in studio versus being right there.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't seem to me all that different from a regular tour covered event.
I mean, it was a little weird seeing the guys just at a mic instead of, you know, standing right next to Steve Sands or whomever. It's not going to make any difference at Harbortown. The only time you ever even see people at Harbortown is on the 18th green. Because all the fans sit inside the trees. I guess the interesting thing will be in a couple weeks when they finally allow fans down at Muirfield.
Right.
I know it's going to be limited. I think they're allowing 8,000 people a day as opposed to the 35,000 that they normally allow at the golf course there.
Right. No, it'll definitely be interesting. It'll be good to see because, you know, they haven't made any decisions yet on Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to watch these first few events with spectators and see how it's managed, see what happens, see what comes out of it, and then make their decision.
I keep hearing that if they're not going to allow fans, they don't want to have the Ryder Cup.
That's what I keep hearing. And as the players have made some good comments as far as, look, you know, we play for ourselves and we play for money every week. And the Ryder Cup, we play for the fans.
Yeah.
It's all about the fans. And to not have fans, they're saying it's really not worth playing.
Well, we're going to extend the show. One of the reasons why we extended the show through the end of September is because the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup being at the end of the month. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that as we continue along in these weeks as the PGA Tour just gets restarted. So thanks for joining us here on Finding Fairways. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. And if you need some new equipment, go to carlsgolfland.com. We'll see you here next week. It's time once again to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Ken Griffin on the phone with me. And Ken, it's great to have the swimming pools open. There's nothing nicer than getting off the golf course and then jumping in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, every day, Jerry, it just seems like a little bit more of a return to norm at Boyne. You know, we've got more golfers on our 10 courses. The pools and spas are very open, and more restaurants are opening as we continue to move forward.
And then you sent me a note, Avalanche Bay. I keep forgetting you guys own Avalanche Bay. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, that had obviously been closed, due to COVID, but announced that Avalanche Bay, which is Michigan's largest indoor water park right there at Boyne Mountain attached to the hotel, is also going to be opening July 3rd. Now, there are some new schedules and some new protocols to make sure everything works, so you can just check on the Avalanche Bay website. But what a great family getaway. You get to play golf, and the family gets to swim.
Yeah, you also got a lot of other family deals. Tell our listeners why they want to get over to BoyneGolf.com.
Well, there's a couple of things going on. We're kind of humbled and honored. The Heather at Boyne Highlands is actually hosting the 109th Michigan AM this week upcoming. And, you know, the Heather was a 2019 golf course owner course of the year. And, you know, if you're looking to get away and play a bunch of golf, we've got a great deal. It's the Play It Your Way package that we introed in June. It's two nights and four rounds from $236. Well, we've extended that through the month of July. So all you have to do is go to BoyneGolf.com for details.
Never a lower price for that package in July that I can ever remember, Ken. That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
Ken, we're going to see you at the pool.
On the course and at the pool, I hope, Jared.
There you go. And it's all available when you visit BoyneGolf.com. Ken, happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
Thanks. You too, Jared.
All right.